Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, happy new year to all. You're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Winning September 13th and 14th, the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When the season opens or reopens, indeed, cause for a new year celebration. Good luck to all getting out there today for the opening of the early autumn bow season, which is going to run through October 3rd. Remember, antlers, deer first. There's 29 deer management zones statewide where this is happening. Beware of the zones with the antler point restrictions. Everything's on there on page 34 in the digest. Coming up our next couple of segments, we're going to be talking Aerie Rug and Duramax Flute Tactics for, this is the last, 12, 13 days left in the season. Right now, I want to get to the Riptide Bait and Tackle Fall Striper Derby. It's already underway. Joining us online is Andy Grossman from Riptide Bait and Tackle, 1201 West Brigantine Avenue in Brigantine. Andy, this looks like a great tournament. It runs through December 14th. Brother, that's a long time.
Yeah, we give you a lot of time to catch a lot of fish.
Go, Grossman. Go into the categories and what are the rules. Go, bro.
Category stripers, drum, tog, kingfish, and blues. We added a fifth category in this year. It's $35. You can come down to Riptide Bait and Tackle and purchase a permit, but you must have a valid Brigantine 4x4 permit along with the Riptide Derby permit to be able to drive on the front beach. You can still enter. If you don't drive, you can walk on. We just don't give you the permit, but you can still enter.
Okay, Andy, now how many years has this Derby been going on?
Derby, I've been doing it for probably almost 20 years now.
Whoa! Oh, man. You still have hair left, Grossman?
No, I got a full head. That's one of my bonuses. I got a full head of hair. But I did have three kingfish entered already. So
all right.
Yeah, kingfish moved back into the surf. They got to be 10 inches or bigger. And we've got three, first, second, and third right now.
The Royals are. So what, you have a prize structure set up? What's the dealio?
Yep, we go stripers are going to be 500, 300, 150. And then all the other categories are 300, 200, and 100. We give out a... 34.50, I think it is, in cash prizes.
Nice, nice.
Great Christmas bonus.
As only Grossman could put it, Riptide Fall Striper Derby runs through December 14th. Stripers, blues. We have tog. We have Andy. There's so many categories here. Even I might be able to enter something.
Kingfish and drum.
Yeah. Andy, you take care, man. We'll talk to you next couple of weeks.
All right, Tommy. Okay,
well, give that phone number, bro. Go.
609-264-0440.
Riptide Fall Striper Derby underway. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin.
College Football Saturday on ESPN Radio.
No place on earth like Tiger Stadium after dark.
It's an SEC showdown in Death Valley.
It's hard to get much bigger in terms of atmosphere.
The third-ranked LSU Tigers face the Florida Gators.
Playing at Tiger Stadium, you know, really getting our fan base involved in this game and really making it Death Valley.
Coverage begins today at 7 Eastern.
It's College Football Saturday on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Halfway through the ninth turn of the calendar page, pretty much. Weekend of September 13th and 14th. Hey, you're tuned in. Thank you for waking up with me. 7 to 8 a.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message. Is also streaming live 973ESPN.com. You can download the 973ESPN app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms to get the Rack and Fin Radio message via the podcast, which is usually posted Saturday afternoons or sometime Sunday. Let's rock. Lucky or unlucky 13, depending on how you look at it with this weather inbound and, I don't know, 13 days remaining in the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke season. Shuts the... 11:59 and 59 seconds, whatever, on September 25th. That is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That is a Thursday. Wow. Seems like we were just talking about the fluke prospectus. Wow. It goes fast. Now, I'm looking at long. Now, you can't. The weather guys are like to me, my opinion, like back surgeons. You can, like, be wrong, mess it up, and still get paid. You know, it's I don't understand this. I'm figuring from the forecast I'm looking at, maybe three, possibly five really good fishable days. So you got to make them count. I mean, there's still fluke in the back. There are still flatties in the back moving to the ends. I saw some beautiful keepers caught a couple of times this week in that winter. These people know the pockets. They know the tides. They know the areas. But really, this is your last shot at flatties. You're going to sound loud right now. Our official summer flounder a.k.a. Fluke Fanatic, Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based in Absecon. I understand he still has a few dates open. Let's get the lowdown on Last Chance Fluke. How you doing, Captain Scott?
I'm great, Tom. How are you?
I'm talking to you, Newhall, and I'm talking Last Chance Fluke, Newhall. How do you beat that? Although I hate to see the season end, but time, it rolls on. We got CBS opening in a few days after that. So, again, Scott, I told you the other day on the phone, I saw some nice-sized keepers caught in the back, a lot of action at the inlets. Out front, it seems, now after the storms we had and stuff, I'm hearing fish caught, like Willie on the Dauntless, Captain Willie out there, they're bottom fishing. Scott, they're in 120 feet of water, and they're catching 5- and 6-pound fluke. It's just a crazy last 2 weeks shot, is it not?
It is, but we fluke fanatics, are grateful for that last 2 weeks. There have been years it's been long gone because you have multiple tropical events sending huge swells. We really only had the one really bad week where we had the hurricane swells coming in. And then after that, we had some minor swells, such as the one that's dissipating as we speak, really. Yesterday was transition day.
Yeah.
There's still a ground swell. Today, it's starting to flatten out. So today, tomorrow, Sunday, look terrific.
Hey, Scotty, check it out. I saw, I'm not going to mention the bays, two bays of my travels, especially. But I saw white caps on the bays. That translates to me like, what, white caps on the bay? If anyone was drifting, unless they had a drift sock or an anchor, they were doing 10 knots. We had one horrific day of wind, man.
Yeah, we did. Shore Road was flooded out, detours all over, anywhere that suspected tidal flooding. And then, of course, as the water drops back down, you bring all the lot of loose marsh grass and trash and whatever else. But that's okay because the estuaries are... they're made to rebound fast. That's the beauty of the South Jersey marshes, is they're so resilient to any kind of disruption. It might take a day, it might take three, but everything recovers in the estuary. So that's a really, really good thing. You hearken to the inshore, the backcountry bite. And the irony is when it is blowing windy like that, that is the best time to be somebody on a perch, on a rock, on a boulder, on a dock, because they don't have to worry about drift socks and boats and trolling motors. They just, set up with a Pepsi or a Budweiser or whatever it is and just wait for that big fluke. And at this time of year, it's often a nice 4- to 6-pounder. So, it's kind of feast or famine. But the inlets are the place to be if you are in the backwaters.
No, well, let me a quick anecdote here. It was late last week. Late last week, Gideon's granddad. I'm going to say where. I can say where. Just it was a great exchange because the kid was he was all fired up. Just the way he said it. The fish was between 8 and 10 pounds. Fluke. Ooh. Caught in the back, Newhall. Caught in the back. I asked him where. I said, "Hey, big guy." He's about 9. I said, well, I'm thinking, why isn't he in school yet? I think it was maybe Thursday. He started Friday. Where he had half day, whatever it was. What'd you catch it on, man? He says, "I ain't telling you." The grandfather says, "I taught him good."
Oh my goodness!
That was a classic. That was a. Then he said it with a big smile on his face. But good for him. Now, Scott, that fish was caught backside. Okay, so transition now. Still plenty of fluke moving through the inlets and out front. What do you got?
Okay, so obviously, if you're restricted to the bays because your vessel is small or you're a land-based fisherman, the inlets are the place. Find the contours in the inlets. Find the places where you can get a line near where they're transversing. For example, I fished Absecon Inlet, Atlantic City Inlet. You have an entire rock jetty there, the T-jetties. They're great spots.
Ooh,
there are fish going to be caught there. You have Barnegat has a similar situation. Plenty of rocks. Cape May. Then you have sod drops. If you can get to a sod bank where it drops off, where the water really pushes through and on the incoming and the outgoing tides, go to those sod banks, get a line out there. If you can cast net live mullet or live peanut bunker and keep them alive with an aerator, game on. That's your best bet, really.
It's got a live mullet. And some guys are still using spot, Scott. Oh, that rhymes. Spot, Scott. There you go.
Oh, yeah. You catch your spots with some. You can actually catch the spots while you're fishing for the fluke in some places. Yep. Sabiki rig with a little fish bites, gulp, bloodworm, whatever you have, grass shrimp. Get those spots, or, of course, stop by Absecon Bay. He's got a great selection always.
You can't move in Captain Dave's shop for the bait. It's on between a wall. What's on the wall in the shelves and on the tanks? In the tanks, Scott? I go in or I get lost. Shout out to Captain Dave.
Yeah, it looks like, the Camden Aquarium when you go back in his tanks. It's pretty cool. If you ever have a small child and they're not busy, I would suggest asking for a tour. Dave, I hope you didn't hear that. Cheers.
Scott, in all seriousness, I stopped at a place, a couple of guys, and they were filleting a nice catch. Three guys, I guess they had five keepers, up to about 22 inches. Scott, one was loaded with crabs, like those little sand crabs or calicos, whatever. I mean, loaded. So they're still on the crustacean bite. I guess they're like me. They eat it. They see something they like, they eat it.
I mean, they're opportunistic feeders. Actually, those little tiny crabs and the grass shrimp and very juvenile small fish, that's the main part of their diet. So, you know, how do we know they're opportunistic? Well, we put all kinds of flashy gulp alive colors in front of them, and they hit those just as readily. So we know if you get it in front of them, they'll eat it. It's definitely not like a fly fisherman on, you know, a brook trout stream where you got to match the blue wing olive or something, or you're not going to get a strike. With fluke, you get them something that they are amicable to, and they will take it. So that's a good thing about fluke anyway.
I have a shout out to, I call him Mr. Mahi, the great, the famous, the infamous, larger than life, Nick Hess. I'm trying to line him up with a seminar series. He swears, and Scott, he and his boys, like Drew, they catch. You know what they're catching and using, Scott, and they're out front. Mantis shrimp, the thumb busters. I mean, shrimp the size that Scott I would put in a frying pan.
Those things are nasty.
I said,
man.
Nick, no, how you catching them? Again, I'm not telling you.
So he catches quantity, huh?
They catch just enough, and he also uses the whole, you know, the small calamari. You know, you buy the box of squid. And I'll use a whole calamari like that. But these guys are fishing rough.
I've done that quite a bit. Yep,
rough,
and
nasty.
Not only that, that's the supermarket deal, too. If the tackle shop doesn't have it, you hit the old shop, right?
Scott, fluke movement right now, shortening of daylight, all that stuff. I know that's all involved. Weather, water temperatures dropping. It's really accelerating, is it not? Now, some fish are out front, and I've seen fluke caught in October along the beaches.
100% correct. Tom, the angle of the sun, the change in the season is enormous. So everybody just assumes if you have a level pattern in the weather, which of course is great, that things will stay static and the same. Every day we are a minute and a half less of daylight.
Right.
The angle changes. You're talking about new moons, full moons. That is what gets those fluke on the migration. And then, of course, any kind of weather event hastens that. And we talked about the backcountry, but the ocean is really the place to be if you're looking for quantity of larger fish.
Okay, Scotty, hold that thought. We're up against a hard break. On the line with us right now is Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based in Absecon. Last chance fluke, last shot at the flatties, man. 13 days left in the season. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with Captain Scott. Area rug and doormat time coming up.
College Football Saturday on ESPN Radio. The Backyard Brawl takes center stage.
This is Backyard Brawl weekend. The energy in this place, unbelievable. I can't wait for kickoff.
Hit. West Virginia.
This is a massive one, and your entire career's legacy can really rely on this game.
Pitt, West Virginia. Coverage begins today at 3 Eastern. With kickoff at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
It's College Football Saturday on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We are September 13th and 14th. As I said, 13 days left in the summer flounder season. Area rug and doormat time. The hunt is on with Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters based in Absecon. And yes, I understand he does have a few dates up. They're going to be gone. Then he starts the Stripers. Oh, then forget that. Oh, then he's gone. I don't know when I'll probably see Scott next spring on a trout stream when he does take a break. Sorry, Newhall, a little non sequitur there. How you doing, man? Thanks for hanging in. I know you're jamming. Scott, the hunt is on, as you said off air. Search and destroy. Heavy cover. That was a great, I took the honor of naming that for, well, lasted for 2 years. Strenn had a great monofilament, copolymer, rather bass line called Heavy Cut. I named it, that was great. Okay. Heavy cover, Scott. Ugly cover, gnarly cover. What's the dealio?
All right, so the first thing is you got to get offshore, and it seems like it's way offshore right now. Sometimes you have a nice batch of fish hanging close, but the last, call it 2 weeks, you're kind of 8 to 30 miles offshore, honestly. And there, so the structure that's more in that 3 to 6 range has producing a little bit less. Now it's starting to be depth. At least 75, 80 feet. And the further you go, it seems like the more quantity there is. So you got to start a pattern. As you head offshore, of course, you're going to stop in each range. You want to stop. You might do a quick check at 5 miles if you know some good hard rock or wreck structure. If you're in South Jersey more than Central, you're going to be fishing wrecks and reefs more. So check your structure at 5 miles. You're not getting hits quick with a couple guys in a boat. Get out of there. Head another 4 miles off. Get deeper. Get 20, 30 feet deeper. Okay, try your favorite pieces there. See what's home. If you have a good drift, obviously good bait down there, and you're not seeing the life you expect to see, keep heading out. We're talking, you might be fishing a structure that you would troll for bluefin tuna.
Yep, absolutely right.
You know, your 28-mile wreck type thing. Yep. Some of the structure on the cigar, there's a couple of little rock piles that the cigar has. You know, you're talking 30 miles out of AC. But there's also places like the Deepwater Reef. There's all kinds of other rock piles. There's maritime disaster wrecks out there dotting the entire coast. It's a big commitment. I'll say this. It's a big commitment to say I'm going to head 20, 25 miles offshore for fluke that I'm not sure are there after our latest blow because they keep moving around.
Hey, Newhall, you know who's crazy enough to do that? Committed beside you. Jerry Vessels, the owner and promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo that's coming up in January. He is an area rug and doormat fanatic. He's out of Wildwood. He'll go down there. He'll go to the Deepwater Reef. He'll go to the reef side of it. 30 miles is nothing to him for fluke, Noel. Did you talk to him before you came on?
Nah, skip that one.
30 miles, man. But, Scott, the rewards are there.
Yes, they are. And because it's been such a terrific fluke year, this has been the best South Jersey fluke year in anywhere from 10 to 15 years. If you talk to anyone, they will tell you the same. From the back bays out to the ocean,
yep.
The size has been better. The quantity has been better. There's been more 4 to 8 pound fish this year than there has been in years. All you have to do is really all you got to look at is tournament results. In the prior years, you have people on a leaderboard with 3 3/4 pound fish. And this year if you had a 3-fish bag, you've generally got to be approaching 17, 18, 19 pounds. We're back to that. It was nice.
Yep.
It was really nice, Tom, to have such a great year in South Jersey.
Let's just have no. Captain Newhall is very staid, very, even keel guy. I can tell he's getting wound up, man. He's getting fired up because how good the fluking was this year. And Scott, 13 days left. Here's a chance to make the mark, man. I know a guy who won. I'm not going to name the party boat, but the seasonal doormat pool, whatever, was something like the tune of $5,000 or $6,000. Caught it with a couple of days left in the season, and the boat was way out. I mean, way out. And you're right. They were in some gnarly, badass, ugly, jig-ripping, stealing structure.
Well, they're fattening up for their migration out to the edge of the shelf where they spend the winter and do their spawn. So right now, it's funny, somebody just asked me the other day, why are there more 8 pounds-ish type fluke hitting now? I said, well, the bigger females are really on the prowl, looking to get, you know, beefed up.
Yeah.
Just like all the creatures of the earth, a bear before it goes into hibernation, a brown trout before it goes to spawn, whatever. All animals before they're going to procreate, they look for calories. So the big thing is the fish are going to be in pockets. They are going to be out there. You just have to keep hunting. You cannot get, a little bit upset because a few spots don't hit. You have to keep the faith and keep moving. And especially after such a good year with so many fluke inshore, we know that they're around. We know that the tropical events didn't send them completely off the grid. They're going to be out there. We do have good weather coming. It's going to happen for a lot of people this weekend.
I think, like I said, 5, maybe 7 days, so people make it count. Cab Newholt, top baits in your book for this time of year and that type of cover and at that depth. What do you got?
Your 6-inch gulp grub, that's your standard, same thing. Get it down there. You mentioned whole squid. As long as the bait stealers are not really prevalent, you don't have the baby sea bass that rip half the squid apart. Awesome bait. Squid, if there are bait stealers, go with the ribbons, the long ribbons of squid. Again, terrific bait. You can use them on a bucktail jig or even use a stinger. Mm-hmm. Fluke belly, carve up a keeper. I mean, you can't miss with fluke belly. But, you know, people forget that the peanut bunker and even live minnows will work out there. People completely dismiss that. So, for example, if you are jigging one of those stacked rigs, like a top and a bottom, you have your ballast as your jig, and then you have the teaser.
Yep.
I'll often put a big live minnow up there, and then fluke crush it.
Wow.
So all the same options really are there. Not too much difference in earlier in the ocean season. Whatever you can get your hands on. Again, this time of year, you do have mullet. You do have peanut bunker. The spots are in the tanks at the tackle shops.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a lot to choose from.
Scott, on the gulp, you know, listen, the iridescence is in, I guess, pretty much all the gulp colors, the nuclear, even a new penny, they can see. Johnny Prock now, shout out to chemist R&D development for Berkeley Pure Fish. You know Procky well, Scott. He says the iridescence is there. But 50, 60, 70, 80 feet down, Scott, what color choices do you have for the, I know a guy, Scott, he stored up because he knew they were going to discontinue with those 8-inch gulp grubs from a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mod on. He is whacking and stacking. But, Scott, color preference for your gulp now at those depths and in that cover?
I carry two main colors, and then I experiment with the other ones. I go with the white, and I go with the pink shine. And then if I feel the need to make a little wiggle in terms of, color shade, I will try everything else I have on the boat. I love new penny,
mm-hmm.
Nuclear chicken, the salmon reds in my box. Man, that was huge that one year. And then fell off a little bit. But guess what? Even though people aren't thinking about it, it still works really well.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Stanley Gola, used to be SNS. He's now OG Jigs. He swears by glow heads and the glow grub or the glow swimming mullet. He's a Tom P. Glowed in it. He says you can't go wrong. I tend to agree. I see what this guy catches. Mary, mother of God.
Yeah. Glow being very similar to white, I like glow as well. So, yeah, you're good. Play around. The main thing is to have those mainstays, and then you can use the outlier colors and see if the outlier colors are hot that day.
Okay, Scott, two things for that. We're really up against a hard break. Newell, we have a couple minutes left. The take of these bigger fluke in that depth, I mean, just a drag down on the rod, you're going to feel a thump bang. And finish up, Scott, with the end game. You have a 7, 8, 10-pound fluke right at the top. Netting is so important. Timing is key. So most fish are lost at the net, boat side. So go with the take and then go with the end game tactic.
Well, the take, if you're over really gnarly, high relief structure. So there, what I mean is structure that's really coming up off the bottom. They will usually really attack it. That's a wonderful thing. I know there's some downsides to being primarily wrecks in South Jersey as opposed to rocks in Central and North Jersey. There's more taste and see when they can follow it on the low-profile flat rocks. But when it's coming over a wreck or something where all that structure is just changing up as you go, they seem to really, really attack it. So it's like a couple misses. There's no setback like in the bay, like you might set it back, give it a minute, or dip the rod. You're doing a little dip of the rod, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, boom, you hit them. Like two Mississippi, you hit them. Because if you don't, you might end up with a snag, or you might let go, but you're dealing with a lot of twisted up metal down there. So
exactly.
You're fishing all kinds of nasty structure. As you're reeling them in, obviously they're using the water comm. If we're talking about 80 to 120 feet, I'm getting pumped up right now. I want to be out there. You're 80 to 120 feet. Sometimes a 6-pounder feels like a 12-pounder. So
Right. It's
really, really fun to bring up a good fish in deep water. It's a different kind of a beast than the skinny water because they're really using the water pressure, and they're considered they're flat. They're using their body, and they're undulating, and their head, the head shakes feel big, and they pull drag. They definitely pull drag.
Yep.
So sometimes I have my drag. I have it just the right setting, so I make sure I'm getting them out of the wreck. Okay, it's pretty tight. Once I get the fish halfway up off the bottom, I might back off the drag a little bit and allow that fish, if it wants to take line, just in case it's flesh hook, you know. All fishermen know sometimes you get a fish to the net, you're like, oh my goodness, how did I get him? He's barely hooked by a little piece of skin. So I'll back off the drag just a tiny little bit sometimes, and I'll allow that fish to take, if it needs to take a little bit of line. Fluke will rip out drag straight down to the bottom. So, I mean, they won't get all the way there, but if they want to take 10 feet, that's not the end of the world. Nice, steady reel to the surface. This isn't, you don't need the pump and drop like it's a tuna. All that does is creates a larger hole where the hook has penetrated the fish, unless it's gut hook, which is really great if it's a keeper plus fish, because I mean they're not getting off.
Yeah.
But steady reel. You're not horsing it. You don't have to reel it, Indy 500 here. Just steady, not too slow. Not too fast, like a medium speed, crank them up, rods level, straight out. You don't have the tip in the water. You're certainly not high sticking. When you get them up and you're getting ready to net them, you want until you're ready, well, the whole time. You don't want the fish on the surface. You want him a little bit below the surface, a foot below the surface. When they get up there, right up there on top, they freak out. Your best bet to keep them calm is about 12 inches below, and then they're a little more chill while they wait to be caught. Sometimes they freak out anyway, but don't bring them up where they're like out of the water. That's the worst move. And these fish will swim backwards. Those pectoral fins know how to go in reverse, and everybody who's done any of this knows that too.
It's got net moves.
Oh my goodness! You
real quick, Scott, we're up against the break. Go.
You got it. The responsibility is on the fisherman just as much as the netter. The net goes towards the fish. The fisherman drags the fluke towards the open net. They are coming together like a boyfriend and a girlfriend, like meeting for the first time on the Ocean City Boardwalk. They are coming together. The responsibility is also on the fisherman. They are not just sitting there, and they don't let their line slack. They bring it towards that net. Very, very important. Everyone forgets that.
Captain Scott, very well said. Scott, give that website, phone number, Facebook page.
Timeout, fishingcharters.com, 609-385-3729, timeoutcharters@gmail.com. Okay.
Best of Mama, listen to boys, man. We'll see you next week.
You know it, Tom. Thank you.
Take care, Scotty. Captain Scott Newhall, man. He is the man. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Earnshaw, and I will get you ready for the big weekend against Kansas City. The Phillies welcome the Royals to the bank, and we will recap Friday night's game. We go on the mound with former Phillies pitcher Tommy Green, brought to you by Blitz's Market of Ocean City. The Birds fly to KC to take on the Chiefs. Join us Sunday at La Scala's Beach House for our Eagles pregame show and get your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy. Fran McLaughlin with his high school athletes in the spotlight is next, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon. On
97.3
ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of September 13th and 14th. Good morning. You're tuned in to 7 to 8 a.m. 97.3 ESPN FM. 50,000 mega far reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message. Also streaming live on that site, 97.3 ESPN.com. You want to get the podcast, go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, other platforms, download the 97.3 app, and you can get the Rack and Fin Radio message. They usually put up the podcast either Saturday afternoon or sometime Sunday. Some good news on the freshwater front for South Jersey. We do have some great fishing down here, most notably the bass, the snakeheads, the pickerel, everything's great. Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries Hackettstown Hatchery crews were down through South Jersey last week stocking my faith. The Channel Cats join us online right now for a quick take on that is Craig Lemon. He is the Hackettstown Hatchery superintendent. Overall, cool guy and great deer and bear hunter, if I say so myself. Mr. Lemon, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Tom P? We're good to go.
I had to get the hunting in, man. Hey, good luck with your, I know you're going to be out there this early season. So what do we got on the cat front? What do we got, man?
We got like 8,000 at 12 to 14 inchers.
Whoa.
Looking at the map starting from south to north, Ponder Lodge, Mary Elmer, G and Petro, Birch Grove, Heritage, Woodstown Memorial, Swedesboro, Greenwich, Pembrin, Laurel Acres, Haddon, Woolman's. Then you got the big group over there on the shore with Deal and Como, Tackanassy, Topanemus, Turkey Swamp, Stone Tavern. You know, lots headed south.
Rack and Fin Radio era, man. Prime channel, kitty time. Now, Lemon, these things are perfect. Catchable size, the minimum is 12 inches. Catchable size. And at this size, they're better than fluke fingers, man. These are perfect eating size, and they're very cooperative. Yep. Worms, hot dogs. Craig, we even caught them on small plugs. These little suckers are aggressive as all get out.
Oh, yeah. I've been feeding the heck out of them. Yeah.
Now,
it's a little special shot for, we put 100 largemouth bass down in Ponder Lodge, too.
Whoa!
They were like, 8 to 12. Nice fat fish.
So. And they're going to grow quickly in there, man. That place is, that is the state, to me, the state's best kept secret. I keep jumping. Why are you telling about it? Because I want people to go down there and fish. Even the former freshwater fishery chief was down there probably 4 or 5 years ago on a November stocking run and said, I can't believe there's water like this in South Jersey. I said, Lee, you're not only in South Jersey, you're at the bottom. You can smell the air from Delaware Bay and the Atlantic on the other side. Craig, what a place that is.
Yeah, I hear great things about it. So,
How old are these channel kitties that went in?
They were born last June or July, so they're just over a year.
That's some fast growth there, man.
Yep, that's it. Morning, day, night, fish, feed.
Uh-huh. Now, are they pellet on fatheads? What's the deal?
No, all pellets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now the slugwaters, they came from the fisheries lab and the biologists there, great crew picking out these waters. You have some great early, late summer, early fall freshwater fishing, especially for the youngsters of all ages. And Craig, these things, man, that's like putting me in an Italian bakery. Man, they eat like bah, 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 bah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, Craig, any other stockings going on, say, during the fall?
Yeah, I mean, for the South Jersey folks, I don't know if you consider, Cooper River.
Oh, yeah.
And DOD are going to be getting muskies probably here in like 2 weeks.
All right, we got some of the stockings coming down. I love my pickerel, don't get me wrong, but I'll tell you, Craig, the Cooper River and the DOD, there are some surprise muskellunge in there, man. Now, are these pure strains or tigers or both?
Pures.
Yep. Oh boy, and there's so much food down there for them, man.
Oh yeah, if they can get to 12 to 15, then they're going to take off.
Great,
and there lots of food. But we got We got some hybrid stripers going back up to Monksville again for another stocking. I just heard this week. Of course, we got the landlocks coming up here end of October. So anybody wants to travel north and catch landlocks.
Listen, we have some great, just great. And what's what I love about Jersey, Craig, you know, I was originally from the north. I've been down here for 20, God, has it really been that long? 25, 28 years. I get to travel because, listen, Jersey is a small place, very, you know, very intricate, great freshwater fishing opportunities. You could be anywhere for quality fishing from your front door for a myriad species within 2 hours. You want salmon? Yeah. We have, Craig, give me these salmon. I'm seeing 6 pounds, 7 pound monsters.
Yeah. How about that northern pike? I love that. That Passaic River is crazy over there.
That's another scary story. But listen, we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channel cats stocked this past week. You heard the waters mentioned. Go out there. Bring the kids especially. Worms, chicken livers, hot dogs. I'm prone to Hetfield or Oscar Mayer cheese wieners. Those are killer. And they're a lot of fun on light tackle. Put them in the frying pan, Meg. Tongue slap your brains out. When they're that size, you are perfect eating. So what?
You know, it's got so popular, this channel cat fishing. There's so many different flavors and stuff. Guys are telling me all these whack, cherry Kool-Aid. I'm like, what are you talking about?
All these baits, man. Some of this bait making for the channels is esoteric is carp fishing. I get these baits from England, all these scents, lobster Newberg scent. What's this for? It's for the dough, mate. Put it in the dough. And it's crazy. And I'm catching catfish on it, too, as well. Well, Craig, great job there. Thanks again. Listeners, get out, man. Get those light rods and reels out. Get out and enjoy some great channel catfish. And it's going to be right up until probably through November. These things bite crazy.
Yeah, water temps are right around 70, 72.
Perfect.
So we're hanging tough. They drop quick, 10 degrees, but they've been holding steady now, so...
Okay, Greg, thanks so much. Great job, man. Thanks for visiting us out. By the way, Cracker Jack Cruise, I ran into him at a couple of venues, Greg. Good guys. Good job, man. Good job.
Take care,
brother. We'll see you.
All right. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Channel cats, just so much fun. Light tackle fun. Easy peasy. Especially for the kids who'll have a ball. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is South Jersey's official home for Philadelphia Eagles football. 97.3 ESPN. It's a Super Bowl rematch in week 2 as the Eagles head to Arrowhead to face the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mahomes is back. He's stepping up. He's hit. They sacked him. They got him.
Pre-game coverage begins at 3 p.m. Merrill and Mike call all the action tomorrow afternoon starting at 4:25. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN. South Jersey's official Eagles station.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, wrapping it up this Saturday, September 13th. Weekend of September 13th and 14th. Rack and Fin Radio 97.3 ESPN. 50,000 megafar reaching watts. I'll say it again. We are loud and we are proud with the message. Hey, just a reminder, Fish and Wildlife's R3 hunting and shooting programs, managed waterfowl hunting program at the Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Area is still open. Okay. Hunters can submit a lottery application to be eligible for selection in one of the 6 blind locations. Whoa, man, these are prime spots. On 3 of the impoundments located on the Cape May side, not the Atlanta, the Cape May side of the Tuckahoe River. What is it? Application period goes to the 25th. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for more information on it. Hey, don't forget, coming up, man, it's going to be the 43rd annual Old Time Barnegat Bay Decoy and Gunning Show, September 27th and 28th. Right at Tip Seaman Park on Route 9. It's been traditional, man. I go there. I run around for 2 days like a friggin' madman. Going to be a great event. Some great vendors there, organizations. One organization, New Jersey Waterfowlers. They're going to be there loud and proud, really doing a lot for waterfowl conservation and hunting opportunities in New Jersey. As a matter of fact, they're going to have a free hunting clinic that's going to be on Sunday, October 12th. Here to tell us a little bit about it and the limited time we have is Marty Christensen. Very cool guy, a trustee with the New Jersey Waterfowls. Marte, what do you say, man?
Oh, good morning. How are you all doing today?
I'm not cocked, Raider. I got my goose thing going on. Ducks are going on. Trout are being smart. They're going to be out of my mind in October. Out of my mind, but I want to make that clinic. You've been doing it for how many years, Marty?
We've been doing it for about 47 years. We started it in the early 70s.
That is pretty impressive, Christensen. Wow.
It's been a very good clinic over the years. Originally, it was the young waterfowlers, and then we moved it to the new waterfowlers. And it's now open to everybody from 12 to 25 to 500 if you can walk in the door.
He said that for my benefit. He said, because he knows I'm in the 7-0 range now.
And it's basically a one-day course on everything that you need to know about waterfowling. It starts off with guns and ammo. We have a dog demonstration. We have the Division of Fish and Game coming in to do duck ID, so you know what you're shooting at. We have the state police coming in to do water safety, water survival.
Beautiful.
Boats and boat safety. And we have a little talk on decoys, decoy placements, camouflage, the art of camouflaging. Of course, we have the traditional Barnegat Bay sneak boxes there, and we have pond boxes and all kinds of boats that you guys can see and talk to the builders. It's a very, very good clinic. It's actually been so good that the DU has copied the clinic, and they call it the Green Wing program.
There you go.
It's one of the oldest clinics in the state. The waterfowlers have celebrated their 50th year about 5 or 6 years ago. So we are one of the oldest nonprofit hunting groups out there. And, you know, it's a very good program.
And more of the work you do with the wood duck box and the whole bit, all that. But listen, it's going to be the New Jersey Waterfowlers Clinic, Sunday, October 12th, location Tip Seaman Park, right there on Route 9, southbound in Tuckerton, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. You can register by calling Marty. We'll get your phone number in a couple
you
minutes.
And
everything's covered. Yeah, ammo's covered, safety. I mean, this is so, it's all encompassing.
It's everything that you need to know about waterfowling. From guns to camouflage to boats to equipment.
And check it out, people. You know my proclivities, BS, Tom P., free breakfast and lunch. Oh, Marty, you got me right there.
We have coffee, donuts in the morning, and lunch will be served between 12 and 12:15. And everything goes right. We should be out of there by about 3:30. Again, anybody wants to sign up with me direct, my number is 732-977-5648, or you can come to the Tuckerton Decoy Show.
Yeah.
Come down and see the guys at the pavilion by the pond. There will be a sign-up sheet there, and I would highly recommend anybody who's thinking about waterfowling or would just like to see what the game is about, come to the Tuckerton Show. It's a great show. It's one of the best shows in the state.
Marty, my lovely Dee Marie has to drag me out of there. And then sometimes I have to drag her out of there when she gets really into it. Listen, it's going to be a great event. You have the Tuckerton Decoy Show, the 27th, 28th, whatever, September, but October 12th. Go to page 61 in the Digest. There's a nice placement in there. It tells you all about it. It's free. Comprehensive, anything and everything you want to know about Jersey waterfowling, it's there. New Jersey Waterfowlers, what an organization. Marty, do you guys have a website or Facebook page, the Waterfowlers?
We do. Unfortunately, I don't know what it is, but I believe you can go on New Jersey Waterfowlers. I think it's .com.
Yeah, just Google
it.
It
will come up.
And everything's there. Okay, Marty, you take care. I want to see you. I'm going to see you when that's going to be a couple of weeks, Marty. You'll hear me coming, Christensen. You can't hide.
Right. Well, I hope I have everyone that comes down. We have room for like 60-some-odd people. It's a rain or shine event. We are inside a pavilion, so if it's raining, don't worry about it. Just come on ahead.
Okay, Marty, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, little brother. Be good.
All right. You have a great day.
Take care. Marty Christensen. Marty Christensen, great guy. He's good. Waterfowls are all good. Shout out to – there's too many. Really, really dedicated on the waterfowl end. We're going to have Joey Lister coming on from Millstone Preserve in a couple weeks, or maybe even next week, talking about the Wood Duck Box program and the success with everything that's going on. That'll do it for this week on Rocket Fin Radio. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Hey, listen, just a reminder, too, on the permits, for the antlered buck permits for permit bow must be purchased by November 1st at 11:59 p.m. You can go online for that. For permit muzzleloader, it's December 1st. And for permit shotgun, it's the 17th. For the bow, it makes sense to get your, when you're going to buy the permit, get the buck tag anyway for the extra 28 because you have the deadline there and then you can't get it. So, we'll see you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Way too much going on. Love to be alive. Great state of New Jersey. See you next week. Tom P., Rack and Fin Radio.